All right, good morning. Certainly want to thank everyone for being here with us this morning. A special welcome to anyone that may be visiting with us. I'm truly grateful to have this opportunity to bring a portion of God's Word to you today. And the text, as we begin this morning, we'll be looking at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. It says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." Before we get into the details of what Paul brings here in Colossians, let me introduce the message to you in this way. We oftentimes think about our prayers and the need to always pray. We've heard messages of how we should make prayer a big part of our lives. In fact, we even sang the song this morning, "How Long Has It Been?" That challenges us and kind of makes us think about the amount of time that we spend in prayer. But it also goes and tells the wonderful blessings that we have and the avenue that we can take our burdens there. We can leave them with God. The confidence that we have that God will answer those prayers. Yet sometimes we know that prayer makes a difference, but that sometimes we don't use it as much as we should. We have access to the God of the universe, and without using prayer, we can sometimes be powerless. We live in a very, very fast-paced society that throws so many things in front of us that oftentimes prayer can be left on the back burner. So I went to school to become an engineer. And because of that, I like data. And what do you do when you have data? You put it in a spreadsheet. And then you got a spreadsheet, you make a big graph about it. So just imagine if someone took how much you pray over the course of your life and put it on a graph. That's a little scary to me. Would I want to see my graph? So I put up some examples here that we can kind of think about a little bit. We truly plotted our lifetime on the x-axis, and then on the y-axis our time spent in prayer. What would that look like for you? I'm going to put up the first person here. Call him Mr. Limited. So he's praying, and that's great. He's spending time in prayer, and he's active in prayer. It looks like very consistent, very constant. But what percentage of that time is spent in prayer? A very small part. And we see Mr. Sporadic. We see times where there is very great activity in prayer. But then there's also times where prayer kind of falls off below Mr. Limited. We see lots of highs and lows. And we see Mr. Devoted. Mr. Devoted is spending a lot of time in prayer. Consistent. It's a big part of their life. How do we ourselves treat prayer in our own lives? I saw this picture on Facebook a while ago and thought it was appropriate. It says, "Is prayer your steering wheel or is prayer your spare tire?" Our steering wheel is what we use to drive and direct and guide our lives every day. Our spare tire is just in case of emergency. How do we treat prayer in our own lives? Communicating with our Lord can be one of the life's greatest pleasures. But it's easy to neglect if we don't make it a priority in our lives. In one sense, prayer is very simple. Something that we can always do. But I think sometimes that simplicity means that sometimes it's often the thing that we put off. It can also be this thing that when we are struggling to figure out what things to do first, it's something that we put off till later. We have many other activities that are pressing in to have a time, and I look at my schedule and I need to be here at this time for this duration of time and need to get this child to this place. And those activities sometimes overwhelm us to the point where we don't take time for prayer. How maybe should we look at it the other way around is, how can we fit our other things in our life in with what we should be doing in prayer? So Paul, in Colossians chapter 4, a very short passage at the end of a letter really answers two basic questions about what our prayer life should be like. We'll take a look at these kind of two questions right after we go to God in prayer and ask Him for His help. Our Father God, we're so thankful for this avenue of prayer that You have provided for us. Father, we're so thankful that You hear us, that You hear our needs and our wants. Father, help us to make prayer a priority in our lives. Help us to do the things that we should to be pleasing to You, Father. Help us to humbly come to You and always lean on You for guidance. Help us to take our burdens to You, Father. Father, we're so thankful that You can give us the peace. Give us the things that we might not understand. And it's all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So we look at the time where Paul is writing this to the Colossians. Where is Paul at in his life? He's not in this big cushy hotel. He's imprisoned in Rome. You would think that would have really been a kind of a down time for him, especially when it came to continuing to encourage others and bring others to Christ. But you know what? Paul was able to continue his work not only during the best times of his life. He's also, sometimes I think we see him shine the best in kind of circumstances that were the most difficult. And this is very much one of those. He found himself this strong desire to always be in the message, spreading the gospel, getting it to people, and showing everyone what the Lord had done for him in his life. We see Paul learn how to operate in all these different circumstances as he shared his faith. And God honored that commitment to him by continuing to allow him to speak boldly for Him. As far as the letter to the Colossians is concerned, Paul spent a lot of the first part of this letter dealing with a lot of the things that they were struggling with false teachers, the things that had kind of infiltrated into the church. But in chapter 4, he really turns to a topic, and it's a topic that he addresses in a lot of his letters throughout the Bible that we have today. It's that of prayer and the need and the truly demand that we need should always have for prayer. So verse 2 begins to answer our first question. How do we pray? Again, in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. That's from the New American Standard. And the ESV is a little slightly different, as I read earlier. It says, continue steadfastly in prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. We find three very helpful guidelines in this verse. The first thing that we'll look at is prayer is with devotion. The word devote means to firmly adhere to. You're stuck on something. You're glued to it. It becomes a complete part of you. It's almost you're melted together. This is an unrelenting persistence. It's the opposite of Mr. Sporadic, which is hit or miss. We must be regular customers somewhere if we want to get the best service. So we go somewhere where they always know you. You know what? They're going to come up and say, hey, I know you. What can I do for you? If we're just in there once, they're never going to have that same level of commitment to us. We need to be devoted to prayer. To bring back how the early church was operating in Acts chapter 2, in verse 42, we see there, it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. We need to follow that example of those early Christians shortly thereafter the day of Pentecost. They were following the encouragement that Jesus was giving to His disciples in Luke chapter 18, a chapter where Jesus really gives multiple examples on how to pray. He said in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, Jesus was telling them a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. He goes on to talk throughout that chapter and the ones just following it about a persistent widow. The example of a Pharisee and a tax collector and their vast different attitudes and praying towards God. I think we can use that. The persistent widow was always going and going and going and asking. Very devoted in her request. And then we see the attitude difference of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The tax collector didn't even want to raise his head up. How often we can certainly find ourselves in that same situation. We're all very familiar about what it means to be devoted to something, whether that be our favorite sports team, whether they're winning or losing, you're always right there cheering them on. That means for me, the Indianapolis Colts and the Purdue Boilermakers. And right now is not a wonderful time to be cheering them on. But you know what? No matter if they're winning or you're losing, you can insert your team in there. I think if you're a fan of Texas right now, you're not too happy with them. But if you're truly a devoted fan in that sense, you still root them on every time they play. Paul is saying something quite simple in this first passage. He's like, keep praying. Don't bail out. Don't give up. Be faithful. There may be times where it's kind of dry and you don't feel like you have anything to say. But keep praying anyway. God gives us His Spirit actually to help us in those times where we don't understand what we even need to say. But that Spirit can drive us to always be ready to pray. And as Paul says here, we should always do that and be devoted to that at all times. This is precisely the admonition that he gives to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, where he says, we're exhorted to pray continually. That doesn't mean that we never stop praying ever, but rather we should have recurring prayers throughout our day, lifting our hearts to God when we're going about our daily activities. You don't have to have your eyes closed. You don't have to be kneeling. You don't have to be in a special place. Sometimes prayer like that, and sometimes the most effective prayers that we can often have are very spontaneous. You can pray when you're driving in the car, when you're on your way to work thinking of something that you need to deal with that day and you need God's help. Something that it impacts our life, something that you're trying to make a key decision of to do this or do that. I think we all can think of times, too, in our lives where we just need to hit our knees and pray. Whether that be a diagnosis of some medical issue, whether that be a friend that has fallen away from God. No matter what we are doing, the point is that prayer should always be a part of our lives. And we can't let prayer slide by in our days. Matthew Henry, in his book on Method for Prayer, says, keep up a constant time of prayer without being diverted from it by other business. This is a guy that lived a long, long time ago, but he realized even then there were lots of things that took his time away from prayer. He also says to pray on rainy days as well as sunny days. Pray on bad days when everything is going wrong, as well as days when everything is flowing smooth. We can't be Mr. Sporadic and only grab that spare tire when needed. We need to make sure that prayer is our steering wheel for our lives. Paul gives us a couple tips of how to really remain devoted in our prayer. He says, pray with alertness. The ESV says that pray being watchful in our prayers. Paul told the believers in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6, encouraging them to be ready for the day of the Lord so that they let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and be sober. He says we are to be alert and be sober, be self-controlled as the time approaches and waiting earnestly for God's return, as well as when we are praying. The exhortation brings to mind the words that Jesus gave to his disciples when they're there in the Garden of Gethsemane, shortly before he was to be led away to be crucified. They're all gathered there in the garden. And that, in Mark chapter 14, in verse 34, it begins, and he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. And skipping down to verse 30, it says, keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watchful prayer provides us the spiritual fortitude to face the temptations that we often come across in our lives. Peter couldn't stay awake at that time. He was supposed to pray. He was supposed to remain watchful. And we see that Peter, in this instance, did give in to temptation and denied Christ just a few hours later. We need to be watching and understanding what's going on around us in the world and be praying about it. There's constant chaos because of people not following God. We need to be watchful. We need to take those things that we feel and those concerns that we have and give those to God in prayer. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it paints a real picture of the war that we are in with Satan. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "Be sober of spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to destroy." If we are seeking help from God to fight against the devil, if we are seeking God's blessings, then we must pray. Along with praying for alertness, Paul says that we also need to pray with thankfulness. There are so many things in every aspect of our life that God has put there, the many blessings that we have. We should never pray without thinking at least one of those things to be thankful for. Gratitude can also be a very good stimulus to our prayers. When we see answers to prayers, we pray more. He's given us so many things. We can thank Him for His presence in our lives, His provision in our life, His pardon of our sins, His promises, and ultimately for His purpose and for our own lives. Listen to how Paul puts the same kind of attitude into his own preaching as he talks to the folks at Colossae. In chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Then in chapter 1, and verse 12, he says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." In chapter 2, and verse 4, Paul writes, "Having been firmly rooted and now being built up and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." Finally, in chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, Paul wrote, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell with you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." We must be thankful. We can't praise the Lord enough in our prayers. Any blessing we see, any good thing that we see in our life, we should praise Him and thank Him for that. So we see three really good questions, or three really good answers to the questions of how should we pray. We should pray with true devotion. We should pray with alertness. And we should pray with thankfulness. Verse 3 and 4 pose another question that Paul talks about how we should pray. It says, what do we ask for when we pray? Let's take a look at these two verses again. The New American Standard says, "Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, to which I am also in prison, that I make it clear in the way that I ought to speak." From these two verses, we can see at least three different things that we should do when we pray. We should ask God to help others. This is called the intercessory prayer. Paul deeply desired that the prayers of the saints, because he knew that would lead for increased opportunities for him to proclaim the gospel message. So he said at the beginning of verse 3, "Praying at the same time for us as well." Paul said something very similar in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. He wrote, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you. The way to win in our battles and our struggles through life is through prayer, through much prayer, through very heartfelt prayer, praising prayer, fervent prayer, devoted prayer. The Bible is full of examples of intercessory prayer, when a person is actually praying for another person. It's interesting, I didn't realize, but we were going to be talking about kind of this transition between Samuel and Saul this morning in our Bible class. But in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23, it's a very challenging time for Samuel. It says in verse 23, the first half of that, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." We try to think about what exactly is going on at that moment in time in Samuel's life. He's feeling totally rejected by the children of Israel because of their demand for the king. And early in that chapter, he confirms Saul as king. And he says, "It would be a sin for me to not pray for you, Saul." We need to spend some time in prayer for others when it's good for us, but also an example like this when it's quite challenging for us. Paul knew that God would do something for us, and so he said, he also says that we should ask for open doors. Looking at verse 3 again in its entirety, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we might speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in prison. It's amazing to me that while Paul is under this house arrest in prison, he doesn't just say, "Okay, can you pray that I get released? Can you pray that I get some good food? Can you pray that I have some better clothing to keep me warm?" He said, no, he pray for me that I have an open door so I can keep spreading the gospel message. So even as Paul was locked up, he was able to continue to spread God's word. He was able to minister to those who needed God. And he wanted the prayers of the people, of God's people, to help him open more doors. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, Paul says, "For wide door is effective service has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries." He continues in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he writes to them, "Now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me, there was a door opened to me in the Lord." Paul knew that God would open doors for him, doors of opportunity to share the gospel and to serve others. Jesus opens and shuts doors for us as well when we seek him in prayer. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have little power, and I have kept my word, and I have not denied my name." There are plenty of open doors for us today, and we need to be looking for them. But also, are we praying for additional open doors so we can spread God's word? Are we praying that we might take the opportunity to step through that open door? It's essential that we have the ability to proclaim the message about Jesus, and we can use those open doors. So we also need to pray for clarity. Verse 4 says that I may make it clear in a way that I ought to speak. Paul is saying here we need to pray that we have the clear understanding to be able to minister to those and to open those doors and to then speak to those people that we come across. The goal of evangelism is to make the unclear clear. Paul describes the message of Christ as a mystery, but it doesn't remain a mystery. And now it is made known. Here's how Paul said it in the beginning of the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25. "Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God willed to make known, that is, the riches and glories of this mystery among the Gentiles, which Christ in you, the hope and glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ." Teaching others is something that's very vital. It's very important. God blesses his people who are willing to proclaim his gospel. But that's another thing, just like sometimes prayer in our life is hard and something we also have to be vigilant at to make sure that we're always out there proclaiming God's gospel. How do we point people to Christ and to heaven if we haven't got that message firmly implanted in our lives? And if we don't know what to say, how do we get those things firmly in our lives? And what Paul is saying here is we can ask God to help us for clarity. Think of an example here that a person that you have a conversation with often. Maybe it's your neighbor, and you come up, and every afternoon you see him maybe working in the yard, and you talk to him. It sounds like a kind of familiar situation. Oftentimes, maybe that neighbor invites you to go play a round of golf, and you play golf. And then one Friday afternoon, he's like, hey, this weekend we're going to play golf. We're going to go at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. You're like, oh, I can't go to church. Or I can't go golfing with you because I go to church. And your neighbor is kind of shocked and amazed and is like, wait a second. How many times have I invited you to go golfing, but you have never invited me to go with you to worship God? Is that how we sometimes compartmentalize those conversations where, oh, this is my neighbor. I have this level of conversation with him. This isn't the time to bring up church. This isn't the time to bring up Christ. This isn't the time to bring up something like that. Every time is the right time to bring up. Sometimes we often keep our mouth shut when it comes to our faith. But what Paul is saying here, we need to proclaim the message clearly. When people ask us about things or people open those doors for us, we can tell them that we do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He is a Savior to the entire world. It doesn't take a doctorate in some type of biblical studies by some great university to be able to clearly share that message and take the first few steps through those open doors. We can't get much clearer than that Jesus Christ is our Lord. We often think about the examples of that type of message sharing. In the book of Acts, we see that Philip comes up to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verse 35, and Philip opens his mouth, and beginning where the eunuch was, taking the knowledge that he had, and really the misunderstanding and the questions that he had in his own life, he began with that and told him the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul had a real concern that the people would understand what he was saying. He also said, I want to proclaim the message as clearly as I could. Is this our same concern today? Do you pray for others that God would open a door of opportunity to enable you to share the gospel with them? Do we pray also for that, for others that might be in our lives? The prayer is such a meaningful and important part of our lives. Truly, if we want to experience any sort of victory in our life, we must be people of prayer. Paul is saying that once we devote ourselves to prayer, God will open up doors of opportunity that we might serve him better, that we might be able to serve others. We can't let those opportunities slip through our fingers. We need to be truly devoted to prayer. So as we conclude this morning, I ask you a few questions to think about. Are you devoted to prayer? Remember those graphs that we looked at earlier? Which one of those really describes your life? Are you really ready to make a commitment to increase the amount of prayer in your own life? Are you ready to make a commitment now at this time, if you've not already done it, to make Christ Jesus your Lord and confess him and be baptized today? Are you one that has been baptized and put on Christ, but are continuing to struggle to meet what God wants you to be? Do you need the prayers of this group to strengthen you, to support you at this time? I would ask you, if you have any needs, please come forward as we together stand and sing.